third chapter, the book of Philippians. Let's start reading at verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for your wonderful grace, the wonderful truth that Jesus is coming. And we believe, Lord, it's on the hearts of your people all across this land, and I'm sure across the world, that that coming may be very soon. And we look forward, to Father, to that day we'll see his face. And Lord, what a wonderful day that'll be. All these other things will be put behind us. And Lord, just to spend eternity in him will be just wonderful and great. So Father, today as we preach this message, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. And Lord, I need you to touch hearts, Lord, and to remind all of us of the great day when Jesus will come again. The excitement of it, the seriousness of it, the finality of it. Oh Father, help us as we preach that your will be done. We'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Those two verses in Philippians, the 20th, 21st verse, he talks about, for our conversation is in heaven. That speaks of citizenship. What God is saying is our citizenship is in heaven. That's where you're a citizen of. If you're born again, you're God's child, you're a citizen of heaven. That's a glorious thing. And he says, from whence, where? From heaven he's talking about. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're looking for him to come from heaven and to call us up to be with him forever. We're looking for that. That's what's on our hearts. It's what we're looking for. And he says, then who shall change our vile bodies? That statement there enough is enough to excite anybody. Amen. As it gets a few more years on it, it'll excite you too. As you realize that old body of yours is creaking and groaning and hurting and all those things that go with just getting a few years on you, you'll be saying, get rid of this old vile body and let's go on to heaven. And amen. And that's what God said he'll do. He'll change this vile body. Regardless, when that happens, it's an exciting thing to think that there's coming a day. God will change this old vile body and give us a body like unto his glorious body. Amen. So that's exciting. Amen. And I know it's not as exciting for the young folk as it is for the older folk. But it is exciting. I'm just simply telling you that he's going to change this old vile body, give us a glorious body likened unto his. And it's going to be, and you notice there at the last, it says, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. I mean, these old bodies, there's no problem with him. He's just going to give us a new one of these days that'll just take care of everything. Amen. And it'll be a perfect body. It'll be right. And we'll spend forever in heaven with him. That's a glorious thing. That's excitement. I think it's excitement. The importance of the doctrine of the coming of Jesus Christ is an important doctrine. I did not count them up myself, but I read where there's 318 times in the New Testament it is mentioned about the coming of Jesus. 318 times, that's one out of every 25, average of one out of every 25 verses. That the coming of Jesus, some aspect, something about the coming of Jesus is mentioned. So it's an important doctrine, amen? And we find it throughout the New Testament over and over and over again about the coming of Jesus. So I just want to preach a message this morning which I've entitled, Christ is Coming. He's coming. And just the first point is this. I want to preach for a few moments about the excitement of it. I don't know, honestly, I don't know how you feel, but to me it's an exciting thing. The coming of Jesus Christ is exciting because it's the story of a citizen going home. Did you ever think about that? He said our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, we've never been there yet. You've never seen it yet. But you're a citizen. And one day, you're going to be able to go home to that place which is your home. It's just a marvelous, marvelous thing. It's exciting for a citizen to go home. I personally has never been. I've never been out of the country, out of this country. But I just try to imagine a little bit about being out of this country and the excitement it would be about getting back home. Dave, you've done a lot of traveling when you was in the Navy, and I'm sure that you felt that way when you come back to this great land of ours, the great excitement it was to just get back home. And others that served and went abroad and went other places, and you get back home to this wonderful place called America. We loved it. And it's exciting. But just think about the excitement of a citizen of heaven going home. Just going home. To me, that's exciting. See, that's why Jesus said he went to prepare a place for us. He's got a place prepared for us over on the other side. And he's ready for his citizens to come on home and be in that place where God has prepared for us. Now, he's going to do that. He says he'll come again. He'll come and get us so that we'll be where he's at. Amen? So this is an exciting thing. It's a citizen of heaven getting ready to cross over and go on home. Amen. Be with him. And God gives us a lot of description over in 1 Corinthians, over in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He gives us a description of that day when Jesus will come. And he said we ought to comfort ourselves with those words, with that thought that Jesus is coming again. We ought to comfort ourselves with that, you see. Why? It's exciting. It's exciting. A citizen of heaven is going to go home. I've never been there, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to rush it. I'm just simply saying I look forward to seeing it. I think it's going to be exciting to see heaven, you see. Not only that, it's exciting because it's a servant that's ready to receive his reward. Now, once you do something, I want you to turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. The third chapter of 1 Corinthians. We could read a lot of verses there, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I want to read verse number 8 of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Listen to what he says. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now God talks about the planting of the word of God, the watering of the word of God. And he says that every one of God's, the citizens that belong in heaven, are going to receive his reward according as to his labor. Do you hear that? You see, that's what God says. You see, it's a servant that's going to go home to be in heaven, and he's going to, when Jesus comes, he's going to bring his reward with him to give unto us. You see, that's pretty serious business. You see, now look at verse number 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So it's pretty serious business, you see, but it's a servant going home at the coming of Christ, when Christ comes to get us, going home to receive the reward. I like that. I like that. I think that's wonderful. God's got a reward for us. I don't know for sure how you feel about it, but I kind of like payday. I kind of like it when I get my check. Do you men like that when you worked all week and they give you a check and you get payday for working all week? You like that? That's what you work basically for, don't you? I mean, I don't think there's anybody here that said I want to work and I don't want a paycheck. Now, everybody wants a paycheck, amen? You know, I remember this when I was a boy, just a young boy. I remember my daddy coming home. He'd walk most of the time from Fillmore, Indiana, down that old gravel road, and we'd be looking for him on Friday. Now, the reason we looked for him from Friday, Daddy got to the place where in the last years there, when I was young, the other brothers was still in school, he'd give us 50 cents a week. That's what he gave us. That was our allowance. Give us 50 cents a week. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I look forward to that 50 cents a week. I look forward to Daddy's payday so I could be paid. Amen. Don't you look forward to payday? Amen. I mean, I got excited about it. I couldn't hardly wait till Daddy got home to get that 50 cents, you see, that he was going to give. Now, in the summertime, he didn't give us anything. You had to go out and work. You had to go out and make money. But in the wintertime, he'd give us 50 cents because we didn't have a job to do. We worked around the place, but we didn't have a job where we could make money. You understand what I'm saying? So Daddy gave us 50 cents a week. I look forward to that. I look forward to payday. And I look forward to the day that Jesus comes. He says we're going to have our rewards. Now, amen? Jesus don't lie. He's going to come and he's going to bring his rewards with him. You understand? So it's not just a citizen that's going home to a wonderful place, but it's also a servant that is going to receive his rewards. Amen? Not only that, it's a son that's going to receive his inheritance. Did you know you have an inheritance? Did you understand that? If you're a Christian, if you're God's child, if you're not God's child, you got a wrong kind of inheritance. You don't have an inheritance with the Lord. But listen to what he says in Romans 8:17. And if children, he says, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You see, that day when Jesus comes is going to be a day when I'm going to be given, and you are too, our inheritance. We have an inheritance with God. We are joint heirs. Now, can you remember this? Joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine what he has? Can you even give any thought and imagination to what he has, what belongs to him? And he says we become joint heirs with him. Amen? I'd rather be a joint heir with Jesus than I would with any man upon the face of the earth. Whatever they have that they might give me would only last for a very short time. It'd burn up. But what Jesus gives us will be forever. You understand what this preacher's saying? See, that's a wonderful, that's exciting. I think it's exciting to think about the coming of Jesus Christ. I'm a citizen. I get to go home. Citizenship. I'm going to receive my rewards. You are too. God's going to give you rewards at the coming of Christ. You're going to, at that point, become heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's exciting. That gets somebody who ever, never, ever said amen, say amen. Yeah. That gets somebody who never even had a smile on their face to put a smile on their face. They get a little bit excited about the coming of Jesus. And it is exciting. I think the coming of Christ is exciting. I think also the coming of Christ is very serious. Secondly, I believe it's very, very serious. Coming of Jesus is serious business. I want to show you over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Verse number 20. We could read a lot of verses there. Well, I'll tell you what, let's skip up to verse number 17, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Isn't that something? God given unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us the Bible, the word of God, and we're to use that to reconcile folk to the Lord. And then in verse 20, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Did you know what? Did you hear the word used there, ambassador? You see, it's serious because God's going to call his ambassadors home. Do you know the importance of being an ambassador? Ambassador from this country to another country is to set forth a good standard for this country, stand up for this country, and to be the kind of person that would be honorable, an honorable person that would be an ambassador to another country. And God says when Jesus comes, he's going to take his ambassadors home. You see, whether you or I understand it or not, every person in here who claims salvation, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And that's serious business. I believe the coming of Jesus is serious. I think it's exciting, but I think it's serious. Because we as ambassadors, what kind of ambassador will we be or are we being for the Lord Jesus Christ today? And when he calls us home, is it going to be something that we're going to be glad that we was a good ambassador? Or what kind of ambassador were we when we go home? See, Jesus is coming. That's exciting. Yes, it is, but it's also serious business. We are ambassadors. And the ambassadors are going to be called home. I think it's a time when we all ought to look and say, what kind of ambassador am I? What kind of ambassador am I? Will God be pleased when this ambassador comes home? You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's serious business. You see, because Jesus coming is exciting to me, and I think it is exciting, but it's also going to be serious. You see, now look in chapter 2 of Corinthians, chapter 5 of Corinthians, where we're at, and look at verse number 8. It says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Did you notice? He said, well, one of these days we'll die. One of these days he'll take us home. Jesus will come, whichever comes first. He come and take us home. But he said, just remember something. It is a good thing. It's a great thing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's a good thing. But he says, that's why we labor. That's why we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That basically means that accepted of him means that we were well-pleasing unto him. We were well-pleasing. Do you understand what he's saying here? Amen? You see, we labor. Why do we labor? Why do we work for God? Why do we serve God? Because we want to be well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. That good or bad simply means it's either acceptable or unacceptable. It's usable or unusable. Is it something that God would accept, those things that we did? Would God accept them? Would there be good things that he could use? You understand what I'm saying? So I'm simply saying to you, see, what he says is you and I are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's serious. See, the coming of Jesus, I think, is exciting. I think it's exciting, but I also think it's very serious to realize that I am going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will too. It'll make a difference who you are. If you're a child of God, you'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? So then also in verse number 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. And he says, you know, we know the terror of the Lord. We know that God judges sinners. We know that God allows sinners to go to hell. We know all of those things. Should not we be busy about persuading men about their salvation? Why? Because we're going to all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody. It's serious business. You understand what this preacher is saying? Yes, it's exciting. I think it's exciting. I get excited when I think about the coming of Christ, but I also feel like it's a very serious, serious thing. We better mark it down. Judgment seat of Christ is not going to be no fun and games. You understand? So it's serious. You know, over in Matthew, the 5th chapter, 16th verse, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which are in heaven." That's the command that Jesus left us. He said, you're to let your light shine before men. Do you hear what he says? He said that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, why do we let our light shine before men? So that people will see our good works. They're going to see the works whether they're good or bad. But God says we're to do that. We're to hold up our light unto those around us so that people will see our good works. So why? For us, our benefit? No. So that we'll glorify our Father which art in heaven. We're to bring honor to the Father. I've told this story before. Some of you have heard it. Just act like you have it. But other folk have not heard it. But when I was a young boy, and we lived out on a little place there. There was about 7 acres out there on our place. And I was like any other boy. I once in a while done something that I should not do. Was you ever there? And anyway, that day, my mama, I can still see my mama. She's standing out there on that back porch. It's kind of a lean-to thing over. And that's where her wash machine was. We did not have electricity. I know you can't imagine that, but we did not have electricity. She had one of these old gasoline engine wash machines. And she'd start that old thing up, you know, and get it going, wash clothes. And I still remember seeing her standing there. I do not know what I had done. I can't remember. Probably just vacated out of my memory. But I don't remember what it was, but she grabbed up what was called a lath. Now, a lath was about that wide of a board, and they put them into plaster walls and stuff and put plaster over them. But she picked up one of these laths, and they're about probably that thick somewhere, different thickness. And she took that thing, and she whipped me. And it broke. I'd done one of the dumbest things you ever can imagine. I laughed and run away from my mama. I thought that was funny. Do you boys think that's funny? Time I get done, you won't think it's so funny. And so my mama, she didn't even try to chase me, didn't do anything. She just let me go. I tried to make up to her all day. And I talked to her, and she wouldn't even talk to me. Nothing, say nothing. I thought, what's going on? And she never said anything to me. But anyway, I was outside, and I looked up that road I told you about earlier, and here come my daddy. I thought, uh-oh. I kind of think I know why Mama's not talking to me. Daddy came in, you know, and I said, hi, Daddy. I was trying to get on his good side. He went on in the house, and just a few minutes later, he came out. He picked up a board, and it wasn't a lath. He picked up a board, and he whipped me. I mean, he whipped me till it hurt, and I was ready to beg for him to stop. And he said to me, don't you ever laugh at your mama ever again. Don't you ever run from her ever again. And I mean, I got the whipping of my life. And I want to tell you something. I never did run from her again. And I never laughed at her again. It's not good to laugh at mama. Mamas are special people. My daddy whipped me. Boys, I'm going to tell you something right now. I can almost still feel it. It was a hard whipping. Daddy didn't care how much he hurt me. But he did right. He taught me a lesson, great lesson. See, I hadn't glorified my Father. I wasn't proud to see him coming down that road. I want to tell you something. You better be ready to look and see Jesus coming and be glad he's coming. Amen. A lot of folks not going to be very glad he's coming. They got so many things messed up in their life. Just messed up. They don't want to straighten them out. You better get ready. Coming of Jesus is very serious business. You better get all things forgiven and cleansed. Amen. You see, the coming of Jesus is very, very serious. Thirdly, the coming of Jesus is final. See, what do you mean, Brother Ross? I want to tell you something. Everything possibly that we can do when Jesus comes to a screeching halt. There is absolutely nothing else you'll be able to do. You will not be able to add to your good works or subtract from them the bad works. It'll all be done. When Jesus comes, it's final. It's over. See, if he'd come this morning, there'd be no way you could go out now and run and get somebody saved real quick so that God would be proud of you. No, it's over. It's done. It's all completed. For each and every one of us, it's just absolutely, there'll be nothing changed when Jesus comes or when we die and go on to heaven. It's done. It's over. See, the finality of the body of Christ, it's referred to in the scriptures as his bride, will be complete. Nothing can add to it. You understand? All that was going to be saved will have been saved. It's done. Amen. The body of Christ is completed. All of those that maybe are friends, our neighbors, our relationship or whatever, whatever it might be, is done. When Jesus comes, it's over. It's final. So the coming of Jesus, yeah, it's exciting. Sure it is. But it's serious. And it's final. You better remember, the body of Jesus will be completed when Jesus comes. It's done. It's over. None can be added to it. You understand? So what's that say? Well, Brother Ross, that also says those who are unsaved is also final. They're left. Scriptures talk about when Jesus comes. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about two ladies. Maybe sitting at a table. Now listen to me. Two ladies sitting at a table. Drinking a cup of coffee. Jesus comes and one of them is taken in the rapture. The other's left. Two men at work. Just working alongside each other. All at once. One is gone. And the other one's left. It's all over. It's final. It's done. Take a people out here on the highway driving cars. If they are saved, they'll be gone. Now, let's don't make excitement about it. Somebody help her if she needs it. Just if they are saved. If they are saved, they'll be gone out of those automobiles. Amen. Traveling down highways, maybe 60, 65, 70 maybe miles an hour. And all at once, them cars will just go off somewhere, crash into other things. Why? Because the driver is gone. Do you hear this, preacher? See, if you're not ready, you won't go. It's going to be tragedy. You think about the airplanes flying through the air. I don't know how many airplanes are in the air at once, but it's a tremendous number of airplanes. Now, if that person is unsaved, he'll just keep on flying. But if it's a pilot that is saved, he'll be gone. That airplane will just go into either a dive or till it runs out of gas. Do you understand? Jesus comes, the saved go. Amen? So if you're not saved, you better make sure the pilot you're flying with is unsaved. You get on an airplane. Because if he's saved, he's gone if the rapture comes. Amen? Brother Gordon, and the other day you gave a testimony about how you was in that combine and peace broke in the combine. He had no power over the steering of the combine. God took it and turned it into the right way and into a bank and stopped it and protected his child. But them old combines that's out there on the highway and wherever they are, when the rapture happens, Brother Jack will be gone. He won't have to worry about it, but other folk are going to have to worry about where that old combine's going, where those old vehicles are going. Do you understand? You understand what's going to happen at the rapture? I mean, God's people just going to be gone. Husband and a wife sitting at a breakfast table of a morning. One saved, one unsaved. The saved one's gone. The other one's left. See, there ain't going to be no guessing game. If you're saved, you're going to go. If you're not, you're not. Children may disappear out of a house. Just disappear out of a house. Mom and dad's not saved, and they'll no wonder where did their children go. Because they've been going to Sunday school. They've been hearing the Word of God. They've trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. They're ready. But mom and dad's not ready. Maybe that some mom and dads are ready and children are not. They've been rebellious. They don't want to trust God. They don't want to put their faith and trust in the Lord. And so when the rapture happens, mom and dad, if they're saved, they're gone and the children are left behind. Do you understand? That's what's going to happen at the rapture. All of God's children that are truly born again are going to be lifted off of this place. The finality of it. There's not time to get ready to meet God. It's over. So I'm saying to you, I think the coming of Jesus is exciting. I really believe it's exciting. I get excited about that. But it's also serious. Serious business. Amen? Because you're not going to be able to add to your supposedly good works or your witnessing to lost people. You're not going to be able to add to that. It's over. It's done. It's final. We'll give account for our life before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? I'm just saying to you, I am excited about the coming of the Lord. I realize it's also very, very serious. And when he comes, it's final. It's over. So I'm asking you this morning, are you saved? No, are you truly saved? Just look up here at me a moment. Are you saved? Are you truly saved? Are you truly born again? If you died today, are you going to heaven? Amen? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Sure you're born again. So that's a wonderful, wonderful. Let me ask you this. If you are saved and ready for heaven, is your life show it? Do you lift up your light before men that they may be able to see it so that you see your good works so that your Father in heaven will be glorified? Is that the kind of life you're living? Amen? Don't you think that's the kind of life we ought to live? Amen. So, don't you think we ought to make a difference in the lost people's lives? Get a witness to them for Christ? Don't you think that's what God would have? Are we doing that? You see, well, let me say something. When Jesus comes, it's all over. It's done. It's final. Amen. So I ask you to check your life out this morning. If you're not saved, you ought to walk down this aisle. You ought to come down this aisle. You ought to get saved this morning. You ought to make sure that you're ready for heaven. Okay? And as a child of God, if things are not right like they ought to be, y'all come down this aisle, get alone here at the altar, and just get it right with God as we pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your goodness and your kindness. We need you to work in our hearts today that the will of God would be done. Help us, O Father, to be sure we're born again, to be sure we're saved. And then to be sure, Father, we're living the life that would glorify and honor our Heavenly Father. So, Father, have your will in each life here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.